Hallelujah! It's the On the Ball Soccer Podcast. I'm Jake Fields, and producer Giovanni and myself are joined by Mark Mayer and West Overstreet to discuss the Champions League and Premier League results fallout, Wayne Rooney's place in history, Michael Laudrup's Swansea, Jose Mourinho, and more praise for Mesut Ozil. Giovanni, blow the whistle. It's time for kickoff. We're on the ball. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. This is the On The Ball Soccer Podcast. Today in the pod, it's me, Jake Fields, producer Giovanni. How are you doing, Gio?
Doing well, thank you, Jake.
We've got some big news of yours we'll explain in a second. Our two guests this week, West Overstreet. How are you doing, West?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. And how are you doing, Mark? Mark, where? He's
I've got a little bit of Stella in front of me to comfort me a little bit after the match.
We're going to get onto that very match a little later on here on the pod. Going on to Premier League fixtures, obviously this week. Midweek we had Champions League results. We'll do a bit of talk about the Champions League results and then move on to the Premier League results after that. First of all, talk about topsy-turvy. That's Chelsea pretty much sums them up in historical context, or at least recent history. 2-1. They lost at home against Basel, Oscar scoring just before half-time, and then Salah and Strella grabbing the surprise victory for Basel. And Basel's victory ends a run of 29 Champions League group games without defeat for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. West, going into this game, Jose Mourinho's first Champions League game back at Chelsea, at home, you must have been expecting fireworks.
Well, I mean, I actually raced home during lunch to watch the match, and only had an hour, so only got to watch the first half. And I was quite pleased once I left after the first 45. Oscar once again showed he's pretty much our best player when he's playing in the middle. Scored the goal. Then I got back to work and saw the ending score, and I was like, what happened? So I watched it again. Yeah. We were kind of listless. We up front, we're still struggling massively. I mean, we're being wasteful still. Eto'o's movement is great up front, but his finishing is just not there. He's creating space, getting open space. He's getting the touch, but he's just not producing up front. And then the back line, we just played uninspired. Like, it's like we played as if we thought we were going to get it handed to us, I say, for the most part. But we played immature. I guess, like Mourinho said, that just the maturity level wasn't there to play above who you're playing against.
Now, Jose Mourinho said, I don't know if you heard his comments after the game, and this is, I'm quoting him here. He said, when I lose, I don't speak about the players or individuals. I speak about my responsibility. I am responsible. Mark, is he responsible for that defeat at home?
Absolutely. He's in control of everything that happens during the week, how he sets up the squad during the week in preparation for the match. That's his responsibility, putting the right players on the pitch at the same time. That's his responsibility, making the right subs. And, you and I as United players have a lot of history.
But United players, we should be getting paid a lot more than we are there.
Did I say players?
Yeah.
If I would have been out on the pitch, that's all I can say.
Yeah.
No, as United fans, we've seen Fergie come in and do the right thing as far as subs. Well,
you talk about decisions. I mean,
yes,
you both
absolutely
can comment on this.
Decisions before, during training, and then match day. Well, and that's all he can do.
The biggest decision, or the biggest cloud, or the elephant in the room is Juan Mata.
Who? Is he going to... Apparently,
if
Tottenham is already looking at him.
If reports are to be believed, yeah. Mourinho came out this week, I think he said, he played 30 minutes at this game, 30 minutes the next game. I started him at Everton, I started him here, trying to I guess, tell everybody, look, I'm giving him a chance. It's not, you know, maybe this is media speculation kind of driving this story that Mata isn't playing.
But I wouldn't mind having him.
Well, no, the thing about it is Juan Mata is an amazing player.
Chelsea's player of the year 2 years
ago. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But the thing that I've always, I love Mata as a player. Amazing skill, amazing passer, amazing creative player. The thing that I notice about him compared to the rest of the midfielders is his pace.
He's a lot slower.
He's slower than everybody else. So when he's up, and since Mourinho is trying to play more of a counter-attacking style, and you have Eden Hazard flying down the left side,
yeah,
Oscar's extremely quick coming up the middle, and you have like Schürrle on the right side, that's not what Mata does. And I went back and watched some of the tape of him playing in Valencia. I mean, in Valencia, he played more like a winger. Yeah. Well,
a left winger.
Mm-hmm. With Silva being more the creative and in the middle. Only issue is that we have Hazard playing on the left.
Right.
So we can't really move Mata to the right and play a right side winger. So we have the issue of, does Mourinho change his style of play to have Mata be the focal point? Or does he use what's probably best for the rest of the midfielder, their pace, and leave it to Oscar to create space, which he does amazingly well, yep. And he's amazingly accurate when taking shots. He's leading us in shots right now. So it's kind of like, does he adjust his style so that Mata plays, or does he use Mata in the best way he can, even if it's less than he would normally play?
What's Mata's tackling like? Because I would think you could play him as almost like a defensive midfielder next to Ramirez, and when Mata gets the ball, he sprays it and passes it.
He's too small.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. And that's another thing. With that counterattack, it's out. They want him to track back.
Yeah.
He can't track back and then make up the pace back up the field to attack with everybody else. I mean, it's sad. It's just the way the team is built right now, it's just not beneficial to the style of play that he has. I mean, he's an amazing passer, amazing on the ball. But we're the pace at which he wants them to play and the way he wants them to play. I mean, he's got like Ramirez out there flying up from the back. When Luis is in there, he's flying up from the back. And all these players with pace are passing him up. And like when Hazard, I mean, he comes flying on that left-hand side. There's nobody to bring it. He tries to bring it back across, and there's nobody there in the center unless Oscar's with him, generally, or Eto up top. But, I mean, as it goes for the creative midfielder, he's just not there. And that's what they're struggling with.
I mean, Manchester United fans, of course, Mark and I are United fans, we would tell you that going into this game, Chelsea fans may have licked their lips and thought Basel was an easy 3 points.
Yeah, right.
History shows us that's not quite the case.
And the players definitely. I think the players were doing the same thing. They just figured their skill would just eventually break them down. And after the goal, we just kind of sat back and, well, we got it.
Yeah. Well, it was a beautiful goal by Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Chelsea's next game is against Steaua Bucharest, obviously former Champions League winners in their own right, on October the 1st. And then Basel welcome Shakhtar Donetsk, not Shakhtar, sorry, Schalke, who beat Bucharest 3-0 in their opening game. Going on to Chelsea's Premier League fixture this week, West London derby, they beat Fulham 2-0. Oscar again getting on the scoreline, a great goal from John Obi-Mikel.
His first goal ever in the Premier League, which always it just kills me, because playing with Nigeria, he's an attacking midfielder, creative player. Unless he's defensive, but he's just never scored. It's just, I don't know if it's just he's so committed to being a defensive midfielder in his role that he just doesn't come up.
He does what he's told.
Yeah, I mean, Terry Ivanovich, Luis all just fly right by him and come up and, you know, score goals. I mean, outside of set pieces, it was just a style.
I liked it
when, so long.
When he scored, and the camera on the television feed goes to Roman Abramovich, who had a smile.
Yeah,
I spent $15 million buying a guy from Manchester United who had never played before, and he hasn't scored, and now he's finally scored.
Yeah, he was clapping and walking around. I was like, wow.
Well, that win ended a run of four games without a win in all competitions.
The worst start under Abramovich.
Mourinho, after the game, jokingly described the recent results as very bad. This is, again, I'm quoting him. That's what I read. It was a disaster. It looks like for others, to lose is a normal thing. It looks like for us, it's the end of the world. It's obviously kind of getting at his critics a bit there, Jose. Is this going to be like this for Chelsea, or do you think they'll get a bit of stability?
Oh, obviously. They'll definitely get stability. I mean, it's just the style of play is changing, and it takes a while to get accommodated to that. And, I mean, I think we were top of the league as of yesterday. I think we're tied for second. I mean, we're in perfect position this early in the year. I mean, obviously, you'd want to be at the top, but, I mean, we're definitely not in a bad place. This is the place you'd rather be if you said this is where you would want to be.
Just below Arsenal?
Yeah. Who's Arsenal and Tottenham, I believe. Is Arsenal and Tottenham?
I believe so. But, you know, saying that, I mean, Chelsea were top of the league as of last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yet there is this whole Mata thing, and then them losing to Basel. There seems the change in the style of play. There seems a bit more pressure on Mourinho. A, very early in the season. B, considering they were still top of the league yesterday. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for like a position where
we all have that pressure. I mean, the ones that don't have that pressure right now are Arsenal and Liverpool. Tottenham is going to have it because they've just got this slew of players in, but it's going to be not as much as United supporters and Chelsea supporters. And, well, I guess in third place, City supporters expect from the club. But
is United under a lot of pressure right now?
No.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think so.
Is Moyes under pressure?
I think a little bit.
A lot. I mean, I think really, the expectations
I think if we would have asked that question before this morning's game, I don't think it would have been as great as it is on Mourinho, even though they were, sixth this morning, coming in this morning?
Who, Manchester United?
Yeah. Well,
there was 7 points.
Yes.
They'd only had 7 points. Well, they still only have
7 points.
Well, talking, you mentioned Arsenal. It's a great week for Arsenal. I mean, I keep saying that every week that they seem to be winning. And I mentioned this point. Yeah. The crisis was too soon.
Absolutely.
They're winning in the south of France against Marseille 2-1. Walcott and Ramsey with the goals. Arsenal are now on a 10-game winning streak away from home, which began when they last beat Bayern Munich in the second leg of the last 16 of the Champions League. We remember it very well. On March the 13th, when Arsenal were killed in the first leg, and then they came back and got that incredible win, which I believe was only Bayern's, maybe one of only two losses at home last year, which is very well done by Arsenal. Arsenal now host West's best friend, Rafa Benitez's Napoli, who beat Dortmund 2-1, surprising to some. Higuain. Yeah, right. Score, getting on the goals.
He's coming into his own.
He is coming into his own. Dortmund will be having a bounce back against Marseille. Tough group. Great start. How do we rate Arsenal's chances of now getting out of this group on the form that they're
on? Well, I think if they can hold on to the health of their play, I love to see that Ramsey has opened up. I mean, that kid is hot. It took him a couple of years to get over that horrible injury. But he's setting the tone. I mean, there's no way that he's coming off the pitch, except for maybe a rotation. But the kid is hot. Just scored, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and give Mesut Ozil a little bit of credit.
Okay. We're going to give him a lot of credit in about 2 seconds.
With three assists today, I mean, he's opening up everybody.
I mean,
they were all set pieces, but his placement of the ball is perfect. I mean, he gives everybody the best opportunity to score. I mean, it's
– right.
I feel bad that one of my best friends, two of my best friends are huge Real Madrid fans. And all they would tell me about is Ozil, and I would see him play, and I'd be like, he's good. But I just never picked up on the great quality that he has. I mean, he's just spectacular.
Well, he doesn't have the – really, he's very similar to Mata, except that his play is just
You're talking about the pace. It's not the blinding pace. It's just the mental intelligence to pick the pass and the move, be in the right position.
I mean, he's such a smart player, and his feet are quick. I mean, just a little touch gets the ball in.
How many games has he played for Arsenal? I think three now?
Three, yeah.
I mean,
and already £42.5 million. Looks pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean,
how many assists in those three games?
At least
five, I think.
It's probably five. Yeah, he had that one from the left.
In his first game, he had two.
Yeah.
He just had three.
Three in this game.
Three,
so at least five or six. Oh, man.
Okay, well, Arsenal obviously beat Stoke 3-1.
Yeah.
Ramsey, Mertesacker, and Sagna. two obviously defenders.
Meta soccer again.
Meta soccer. For the Gunners, Urso obviously having a hand in three of the goals. Mm-hmm. It's Arsenal's seventh consecutive win. And interesting note, Stoke have lost on all six Premier League visits to the Emirates Stadium, and they last beat Arsenal in 1981. So no luck for Mark Hughes. But it's a quite tremendous turnaround for Arsenal considering that first week when they lost to Aston Villa and it was all doom and gloom. Right. They hadn't signed anyone. Now they have Ozil. We've already said he's assisting all these goals. Their seventh consecutive win. They haven't lost an away game. You know, they're on a 10-game winning away streak. Is it now too early to say that they're
It's too early to
legit
say
title contenders? Right?
Anything.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Play it. Well, look, after one game, you know, I put it out there whether they were going to cope this season. So yeah. We'll see. Obviously, there was a lot of games in the Premier League, even today on Sunday when this is recorded. Biggest game, obviously, of the weekend. Sorry, Wes, not the West London derby. Chelsea-Fulham. The Manchester derby. Now, going into this game, let's talk, obviously, about the Champions League. Manchester City got their Champions League campaign off, beating the Czech side, Victoria Pizan. I hope I pronounced that right. Goals from Dzeko, Torre, Sergio Aguero. Next game for City, they host Bayern Munich, obviously the European champions on October the 2nd. West, two seasons back-to-back. They've struggled in the Champions League. Will it be a better year for Manchester City? And then, Mark, is Bayern and City something that everyone can be excited about?
I say absolutely they're going to have a good Champions League, and it's going to center around the play of Yaya Toure and Kun Aguero. Both of them scored. They both scored in that Champions League game, and then I believe they both scored again today. When Yaya Toure is on, I don't know. I mean, he just drives the midfield so well. And I mean, his touch is amazing, and it just that team is just. I feel like that team goes by what he goes. When he's playing well, that team is as good as anybody in the Premier League. And Kun Aguero is just exceptional up front. He made blindingly fast. I mean, maybe Theo Walcott's faster than him, but aside from that, I mean, he's just a great. He's a marksman up front. Great
he
touch,
is.
And I think. The way they're playing, they can play with Bayern. They're not better, but they definitely can play with them.
Well, I think what they'll come up with against Bayern is Bayern's strong center, the strong center line.
Who about like Schweinsteiger?
The list goes on and on. And what are they going to have to? What does City have to counter their wing play with? Navas for City is, I think, one of their best buys. His pace and his play on the wing is great, but he's going to have a lot of defensive responsibility with Ribéry. And behind him, the Austrian kid, David Alaba. I mean, they gave him a free kick, and he scored. And this kid is 19, 20. Navas is going to have his hands full, so he's going to be less of a threat up front. And they might not play Navas, they might play Milner. City on the left, I don't know.
They have to contend with Robin and Lam.
Yeah, exactly. And that has nothing to do with the center. So Company is going to have his hands full. I don't know who they're going to play with Company in the center. If Yaya Toure plays, he's going to have his hands full. He's got to be more defensive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unfortunately, I think it's going to be a great game, but I think Bayern is going to take it. That's what I think.
A quick prediction, West. Who do you think will take that game? We'll talk about it next week on the pod. But
yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's spot on. Bayern probably going to take it. I just think that I think City will put them into some difficulty. I think their pace, the skill of their players up top and in the midfield. I mean. Man City's got a pretty strong midfield. Top quality players there. I think they can put Bayern in a little bit of distress there. I see probably 2-1. tomorrow. Bayern.
I think Manuel Pellegrini might just show how good of a coach he is. City might come out with a win, but we will see.
What?
We will see. the other side of the Manchester Derby coin, the red side, obviously. Wayne Rooney reached the landmark of 200 goals for Manchester United as David Moyes made a winning start to his Champions League group campaign with a 4-2 win against Germany's Bayern Leverkusen. Rooney getting two, Robin van Persie getting one, and my favourite Manchester United player, Valencia, getting the other. A fixture that most United fans would have been wary of with history.
Mm-hmm.
2001, Champions League semi-final. Michael Ballack led Bayern Leverkusen knocked Manchester United out to reach the final. Although I actually believe it was the quarter-final. Man, you were beaten. Leverkusen made the final. The Zidane, great goal. Last time Real Madrid won the Champions League. United now travel to Donetsk in the Ukraine to play Shakhtar, who won away at Real Sociedad in their first group game. Guys, briefly sum up Wayne Rooney's place in Manchester United history and then tell us how United did and how they will do against Shakhtar Donetsk in the Ukraine.
Rooney's going to be, he's a legend already, what, 200 goals? I think number four.
201.
201, number four or five on the all-time scoring list. In a long line of a traditionally phenomenal squad. A squad with great history, more Premier League titles than any other team. Speaks to the quality of people that he's being compared to, and he's a step above most, except for what three gentlemen. So, he deserves there to be right there along the greats, and he's got probably at least, at worst, I don't know what, four more years. He's most likely to leave. His all-time leading scorer in Manchester United history.
Well, he is 48 goals
he's
on, off.
He's only 48 goals off. That's what, two seasons? Three, maybe?
I think two.
Yeah, it's most likely two. Yeah.
Well, whether he'll be there or not is a separate question.
And I started, but before the season started, we talked about the whole Rooney saga. And I said what I wanted was for him to come back and prove himself and eventually earn a statue in front of the stadium, in front of Old Trafford. I think that he is one of those players that can do that. Unfortunately, I think he's one of those players that is okay if he builds his resume and moves on as well. But I'd like to see him stay. I'd like to see him earn it. He's less than 50 goals away from that legendary, absolutely legendary status.
Well, he's 10 away from, or sorry, yeah, 10 away from third place.
Right.
So
yeah, I think by the end of the season, I think that'll start that nostalgia and being a legend on one of the greatest teams in soccer. I think that'll start to kick in as he gets a little bit older and realizes what his place in history will be, what his legacy will be if he continues to play at Old Trafford. I think. With age, I think that stuff becomes a lot more important, and you start to look back and say, wow, this is what I've really done.
Right.
When you get past the age of, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to be,
exactly.
He's going to start seeing, this is what I am, this is where I stand now, this is where I can be. So I think his perspective will actually change as he scores more goals and realizes, and it really starts to sink in where he's at and what he's done and what Manchester United has done for him. And I think he'll stay, and I think it'll be the all-time lead scorer in Manchester United history.
Great answer from a Chelsea fan.
Duh.
That says a lot about the kind of people we have on the podcast.
Couldn't get better praise than that. I know. I said briefly about Wayne Rooney, but we'd like to do on this show go back and forth, and we very much react to what each other has our own views and stuff. What about the thing that Wayne Rooney, even if he was to make the landmark, get 48 more goals, what about the thing is the feeling that he really doesn't have the affection in the hearts of the Manchester United fans because he has put in two transfer requests in, 4 or 5 years, and he has had bouts of being on form and not on form. Whereas I think you ask most Manchester United fans and they have greater affection for someone like Ruud van Nistelrooy than they will have Wayne Rooney.
You know what? It came out when all the mess with Fergie's book came out. That was what? Within the last month. And basically, it's been proven by Fergie that he did not actually submit a transfer request, a second one. So, and Fergie has actually this past week come out and praised him.
He did.
I mean, I read somewhere this morning that Moyes said, I thought he was soft. I thought he had gone soft. That's not the case. So,
yeah,
it says a lot. It says a lot that he came back in shape, fit, ready to go. He might have been trying. This season might be. I'm going to do my damnedest, build up my resume, build up my price, and move. But it might not. I mean, I would really like to see him establish himself as a legend. And you know what? Once that and I guess it has to do with the maturity, like you said. He has to see his legacy. He has to see his legacy unfold before him. He can either leave it and start over again and try to get a new challenge, or realize that this is a new challenge and the ultimate. I mean, the legacy at a club this size, it's huge. That's Real, has Raul Di Stefano. He's in that. He is in that echelon. Cruyff at Barcelona and Ajax. He has the potential to be in that.
Lampard at Chelsea.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah.
So I hope he chooses the good and righteous path.
We'll see. Go ahead. We're sorry.
No, I just think he will. I mean, even going back to last week on the podcast when we were talking about the comments that Ibrahimovic had made about him. He really doesn't play as a selfish player. He plays for his teammates. I mean, he's always opening
very
up opportunities.
Selfless,
he's
yeah.
very selfless. I mean, I think it's more of his attitude off the pitch that caused him some issues.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's on the pitch, aside from, I mean, when he's had bout with fitness and, you know, not necessarily coming in the best of shape, he's been amazing. And I just think that maturity and that age, and they have a good season here. I mean, everybody's starting to support him, that rally, that support mm-hmm. from Van Persie. Ferguson coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Moyes saying, this is what I thought, but I was wrong. When your manager comes out and says, you know what, I had some preconceived notions about you, and this is what I was thinking about you,
right.
but I was wrong. You're proving
right.
me wrong.
Right.
He's getting that rally of support, and I think that that makes you feel like you're wanted, and that makes you feel like you're at home, and I think that's what's going to keep him there and take him to the top.
To end this Wayne Rooney segment, I would argue if Manchester United weren't so dependent on Wayne Rooney, then they wouldn't love him so much. I think Manchester United, I think, in certain parts in the summer, would have liked to have seen Wayne Rooney go if he was adequately replaced. He wasn't. We have to stick with him because, man, you have maybe 4 world-class players, Wayne Rooney being one of them. Shakhtar Donetsk, tough place to go, Ukraine. Do we think they're going to get the job done?
I think 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah.
Quick yes or no. Has your view changed after this morning?
About us winning there?
Yeah.
No.
No. Well, Manchester, I'm alluding to, obviously, Manchester United losing, what was it, 4-1? Yes, 4-1 to Manchester City. I was going to say at home, yeah, at Manchester City, you know, 5 minutes down the road.
Right.
Obviously, our man, Wayne Rooney, scores for United after being 4-0 down. 2 goals, right? Aguero grabs a brace. Yaya Toure, and then
Nazari
put City 4-0 in front. Mark, give us your very unbiased opinion on what you just saw.
Our center of the midfield was so soft. Too soft. We were not able to hold Toure. I mean, the marking, every single goal was scored because the player that should have been marking the goal scorer was watching the ball. They did not go to the second ball.
Mm.
They didn't play that second ball. They watched it. They watched everything unfold. Negredo, that ball to Aguero. I think that was Fellaini should have been dropping back. There's one that came across where Rio Ferdinand watched his that was a Nasri goal. Valencia didn't come back with Negredo when he put that ball in that caused the goal. And the last one where Navas had that free rein, nobody marked him on the back post. So it was...
Do you put this down to David Moyes? The manager takes responsibility like Jose Mourinho does?
Absolutely.
Or do you think it's the players? Manager first?
Yes, absolutely. The it's his job. You know what, halftime? He should have pulled Young. And we talked about this earlier. I mean, the options that he had for wingers were, at the very least, Butner, bring him in as either a mid or a back and push Evra up. That would have given width. Young does not like to play defense. He doesn't. And he barely did that. There were a couple of balls down that side that he should have been with the man defending, and he's jogging back. And Valencia did the same thing on the other side. Could have brought Nani in, could have pulled out Smalling, put Valencia back, and brought in Nani on the right. I mean, there's a variety of things that happen. Instead, he pulls off Young, pulls on cleverly, pushes Fellaini up into the attacking mid, and Welbeck on the wing. So now we're going with more like a 4-3-3. But we don't have a true winger that's going to support the Evra. So it's like a four across the back, and then we've got the right side loaded and the left side is empty. It's bad decisions by the manager, I thought.
Now, going at the start of this game, you know, 5 minutes to go before the game starts, the news filters through when the team sheets are given. West, when... You know, you're Manuel Pellegrini or you're a Manchester City player and you see that Robin van Persie, not only is he not starting, he's not on the bench. I mean, what kind of effect do you think that gives to your team?
I mean, it's a huge uplift. I mean, that back line is no longer worried about for the best, I mean, the arguably the best or second best striker in the Premier League. So, I mean, it's a huge lift. For those centers backs, probably gives a little bit more free rein to your left and right back as well. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to come back and cover Van Persie, the link up between Van Persie and Rooney. So, I mean, it's a huge relief. I mean,
yeah.
We started the game with Welbeck on top. Welbeck is not the danger man that Van Persie is. Rooney, middle of the first half, had started to float back to pick up the ball on his side of the pitch. We gave up a lot, and we gave up the offense by not playing. I don't know what the deal was, if he's got a little tweak in training or somebody stepped on his little toe. I don't know.
I think maybe they're expecting neither. Look, both teams had, what, 7 points out of how many games?
Seven.
I think out of five games,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Or four games? Whoever was to lose this game would... Was it... Oh, my God. I have to check this out. Sorry, people. Doing this
the
on...
Stats said...
The stats. We're stat-driven here, clearly. Oh, Mark, the internet does not work. Basically, whoever was to lose this game... Effectively,
unlikely
only
to
has... We think unlikely to win the league, although very early to say. Mm-hmm. Losing two games already in the season's not the greatest start in the world. But United surely will bounce back. My quick 2 cents, well, Manchester United don't have any decent people on either side of the park. You either have the distinctly average Antonio Valencia, you have the utterly wasteful Nani, you put the diving cheek,
wait a second,
Ashley
wait a second.
Young.
You can't really say that about Nani. How many minutes has he played this whole season?
I'm talking about the history of his Manchester United career. And I'm being a bit cynical, don't worry about it. You have an aging Patrice Evra. You have the 10th Dutch left-back, Butner. The other side, you have a crazy Brazilian, you know, right back, Rafael, who's always injured but manages to score, you know, every once in a while and an amazing goal. And you have Chris Smalling, who was utterly awful today. So the Manchester United's problems continue. There we go. Put it to you bluntly. like a Manchester United hater, I put it there. Other notes. I don't know if you guys saw this. Paolo Di Canio's reaction to the fans as Sunderland were beaten 3-0 by West Brom. Session comes back to haunt Di Canio, who had obviously just let him go in the January transfer window. And West's favourite player, Romelu Lukaku, shows why Chelsea continued to loan him despite in desperate need of a striker who scores. That's very funny. Did you guys see Di Canio's reaction, and what is your opinion of it?
I didn't see it, but the things I've read are not, they don't bode well for him. I think he needs a little bit of time. He needs a little bit of time. He brought all these players in. He needs to a little bit of time to make it mesh and to bring it together.
I mean, did you see it,
Wes? Yeah, I didn't see that. I just saw him kind of raging out a little bit on the sidelines.
Well, basically what happened, the game ended and Sunderland were well beaten, and obviously they're bottom of the league. Add on top of that the fact that Session comes back and scores against you. And he was probably Sunderland's best player last year.
And he was actually class after scoring the goal. Didn't celebrate. He just kind of, just joined his teammates.
Exactly.
A lot of respect.
Yeah.
So the game's over. Final whistle blows. And as all the players come off the field, Di Canio comes on. But he goes past his players, past the opposition players, shakes a few hands, and goes to the Sunderland fans. And to be honest, most of them had left at that point. But he was just standing there talking to them, but from afar. So not really talking to them, just talking to their reactions and that kind of thing. Basically saying, he was pointing to his chin, keep your chin up. And he was waving his arms, basically saying, what am I supposed to do? And I mean, it looked he came across very passionate. Some fans were clapping him. Some fans had their arms stretched out. Like, what the hell are you doing, Di Canio? But it'd be interesting to see how long he lasts. I think if you're a betting man or woman.
Two games is what I read. Yeah.
And if you were betting on the first Premier League manager to be sacked, you would put a bit of money on Paolo Di Canio. And West, we won't talk about Lukaku's obvious wrong placement at West Brom. He should be at Chelsea instead of, Fernando Torres and Barr and that other guy that you pay £200,000 a week.
What's the stat on Torres' minutes now without a goal?
I never. Not to get off topic, I thought Torres played decently when he came on the other day. I mean, certainly better than Demba Ba.
Yeah, better than Ba, but I mean, still. I mean, he had the great header, the bullet header that was saved.
That's right.
Yep.
But still, I mean, it's disappointing.
And I guess Lukaku's not in your fantasy team after all. You thought you
had him. I actually forfeited 4 points to bring Lukaku back.
And he was on the bench.
And yeah, I thought I had three strikers up front. I wound up just having Benteke, who got hurt, and Giroud, whose five-game scoring streak came to an end.
We have the same strikers up front.
Yeah.
Early Premier League pace setters Liverpool suffered their first defeat of the season as Dejan Lovren, sorry if I pronounce his name wrong, his goal gave Southampton the victory at Anfield. Brendan Rodgers described the performance as subdued and technically not very good, giving away a poor goal. It is one of the few poor days we've had, said Rodgers. Is he right? It's a small blip, or perhaps Liverpool regressing to their regular expected league position.
No. Look at what they started with. They had four center backs playing in the defense. I mean, Colatore is not a wing back.
Yeah.
they had six defenders on the field? They were not set up to win.
Yeah.
They were not set up. I mean, even Steven Gerrard had a tough day at work.
Yeah, I mean,
this has nothing to do with
the cries for people saying they desperately need. I mean, obviously they're going to be better when Suarez comes back, but for them to say that they desperately need Suarez to be back on this team is a big stretch. I mean, they have been kind of, their striking's been marginal at best in the second half of games. I don't think they've scored in the second half of the season. But
second half of the games with this season.
But it's just a blip on the radar. You lose sometimes.
Yeah.
And Suarez comes straight back into the team.
Capital One.
Capital One Cup, right?
Yeah.
This week.
His first match against who?
I don't know, but Juan Mata's also playing at Manchester United, play Liverpool. Juan Mata's also playing that Capital.
A guaranteed start.
A guaranteed start. Swansea saw off Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park. Michu and Nathan Dyer with the goals, capping off an impressive week for the best Welsh side playing in the English leagues. Swansea dominated Valencia at the Mestalla. Boney, Michu again, and De Guzman with the goals. Producer Gio is telling me not to get into the Premier League versus La Liga can of worms debate, so I'll pass it to Mark.
They are an exciting side. I love watching them play. I mean, he has done a great job with that club. Unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be there another two seasons. What's the point of starting any dialogue about La Liga, which is at the most a four club competition versus the EPL? There's no point in saying anything like that.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the last segment, so we can stretch this out a bit. You say four. How many Premier League winners have there ever been?
Premier League or First Division?
Premier League.
Oh, well, that Premier.
Well, how many? City, Man U, Arsenal, Chelsea, Blackburn. So there's been five.
Okay.
And in that time period since 92,
I think there's Blackburn been now?
Okay, but in history, how many La Liga winners have been? I think probably three.
Atletico, Real. In La Liga, I don't know how old La Liga is. I mean, I really don't.
Since 92, I don't think Atletico Madrid have won the league. I know Valencia have with Benitez. They've won it twice. Barcelona obviously have. Real Madrid. Have to look up the stats.
You got to do, but that's not really a fair assessment. Yeah. If you look at the difference in points between the first five teams, that'll give you a true answer.
To be fair, it's not a four-team league, La Liga. It's a two-team league. Really? We're being honest. All devil's advocate BS aside.
Wait, Real Madrid is what? Fourth in league right now?
But Barcelona completed their 100% record. Pedro scored three goals, by the way, against Real Vallecano yesterday.
And for the first time in 300-plus matches, Barcelona has lost the possession percentage.
That's right.
46% only. Yeah.
Since 2010, I think, was the last time they
Since not Clive, Ruud Gullit was the manager.
You mean Frank Rijkaard?
Yeah, Rijkaard. Yeah. Rijkaard.
And they won that game, I believe, even though they lost the possession back in 2010.
Yeah, but I mean, Martino came out and said that he's going to make adjustments that are best for the team, and he felt that the attacking prowess of their opponent forced them to fall back a little bit and play a little more defensively, and they just played on the counterattack with Pedro, who was
hot.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Skipping La Liga just for a second, back to Swansea. I mean, brilliant to see them winning 3-0 at Valencia. I mean, that's a massive, massive result. Then win again today at Selhurst Park. So, against Crystal Palace, who obviously are in danger. Even at this early stage, obviously a newly promoted team.
Sorry, a little bit of gas.
Are there. And Michu and Boney getting on the goals. I know it was...
The way they're playing, I see them being like 6-7.
You think so?
Yeah. They're a great squad to watch. If they can stay healthy,
it's good. It's gonna be a good season for, like I say, the best Welsh team in the English leagues. I'm still excited for that Swansea Cardiff derby should be a good one. Mm-hmm. It was a very quick pod today. It just flew by.
Well, he's 6th or 7th for Swansea.
It's very high.
That's real high.
If they keep playing that way, though, I mean, they'll challenge across the board. I mean, will they beat Southampton? Southampton beat City. City beat us. I mean, there's a variety of scenarios.
Let me paint this for the listeners. West is going through how many teams he would put above Swansea in the Premier League.
There's a couple. I mean, Arsenal, Tottenham, City, Chelsea, Liverpool.
But not necessarily Liverpool. Not necessarily.
Suarez comes back, I mean,
well, sure.
Why not?
Sure.
Everton?
Maybe.
So maybe 7. 7's possible.
Seven?
I took some time to think about it. Seven's possible. Possible.
And how far do you think they'll get in the Europa League after display a 3-0 win at Valencia?
They'll make it to knockout stages. I mean...
Not
what
bad.
Do you think?
Yeah. So it's a long bloody tournament playing on those Thursdays, Sundays.
It is.
Thursdays,
and Sunday. That's why I said that about their health.
And the thing is, and that's they're definitely a squad that's going to be affected by depth.
Yeah. So if he knows where he's going to be in the league, I'd say focus on UEFA.
If you're Swansea.
Yeah.
Bit more.
If he makes his. Priority. If he knows that he's not gonna get relegated or be in the lower third.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. Talk about the other English team in the Europa League and title contenders. I think it's fair to say Tottenham Hotspur beating Tromso. I think I pronounced that rightly. Jermaine Defoe, who's been saying that he's not getting in the team and wants to go to the World Cup, and he's basically disillusioned with life a little bit right now, bags two goals in 8 minutes. Well, one in the 21st, one in the 29th. And then Christian Eriksen, who looks to be maybe rivaling Mesut Ozil as the purchase of the January transfer window, scoring
a
brilliant goal. So life without Gareth Bale continues to shine for Spurs. And... sorry, and they won today against Cardiff.
Barely, though. Say
Paulinho in the last minute.
Yeah, exactly. I talked about Paulinho when it was still the Confederations Cup, about that guy, or the U21, rather. I mean, he's a great, great player in the center of the field.
He is. The Premier League table, to round it up, is two North London clubs. Arsenal, top of the league. 12 points, Spurs, 12 points, and then Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Everton, Southampton, Manchester United, Swansea, who we just spoke about, in ninth, and then propping up the bottom of the table, Sunderland, Crystal Palace, Fulham, all in the relegation zone.
So are we in the top 10? Is United...
Manchester United are eighth with 7 points out of five games.
Yikes.
Out of a possible 15. So it's a tough start, but obviously things can change... can change very quickly. Quick news before we end the pod. Did you know, guys, that Inter Milan's Argentine players scored 5 goals to help them with a superb 7-0 win in Serie A?
I knew they won 7-0.
Milito got 2, right?
Milito did get 2. And then Palacio, Ricky Alavarez, and Esteban Cambiaso also.
Cambiaso.
Also Nelly.
Of course, yeah. You know, I'm glad Milito's back. He was injured. He was out for a while.
Good plan. He scored in the Champions League final. Obviously, Jose Mourinho winning the Champions League with Inter. Gareth Bale has failed to make his home debut for Real Madrid after suffering an injury in the pre-match warm-up. Obviously, Gareth Bale made his goal-scoring debut for Madrid in last weekend's 2-2 draw at Villarreal. And I believe that is it. We just have a bit of special news here at the On The Ball Soccer Podcast. I know me, Mark, West, Kevin, Brad, the whole team would like to send a huge congratulations to our producer Giovanni on his engagement this weekend. Congratulations, Gio.
What?
Woohoo!
You got engaged?
After 9 years.
Nine years of what?
Dating.
She wouldn't say yes, would she? That's awesome. Congratulations. When's the wedding?
Not sure.
3-4 years?
Yeah. Another decade.
All the listeners are invited, of course. Ha, 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 ha.
We'll be sending out invitations.
Send it out. Well. And all I believe right. I can quickly say it. Maybe next week we have coolers for the first time. Could happen. Maybe. Keep on the lookout. We'll post that on the On The Ball Soccer Podcast Facebook page and Twitter at On The Ball Show. Go ahead, Wes. Do you want
go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say that we'll let you know in advance so that you actually call in the time we actually record the show as opposed to when it's actually up on iTunes.
Up on iTunes, yes. Yeah. If people don't know by now, we record on Sunday afternoons around 11 o'clock and it's put up on the Podomatic site and on iTunes on Tuesday morning, right? Tuesday night?
Monday.
Monday night. Okay, so we will give that in advance, and you can call the show. You can say whatever you want. Just keep the language somewhat PG. Can't be effing and... yeah, you can't... PG-13, sorry, they call it.
NR.
But yes, for this week, it's me, Jake Fields, for producer Gio, West, Mark. Thank you, guys. Oh, and, yes, quick plug. It's time for a quick plug. We have about a minute. We're at the London on Greenville Avenue. Good beer, great food, awesome service. FIFA tournament's still going on, right, Mark?
Yep. We're going to have GameStop sponsoring the 14. We're going to have
FIFA
their
14.
Yep, they're bringing in all of the big screens as well as a whole slew of machines. So,
yeah, so what day is the next tournament going to be?
Wednesday.
This coming Wednesday?
This coming Wednesday, yes.
All right.
Yeah. I always work Friday, Wednesday nights, yeah. Unfortunately.
Are you a gamer, though?
I'm a gamer. Oh, I'm dominating FIFA 14. I already downloaded the demo.
I think everybody...
Am I a gamer?
Every person that I've talked to that says they play FIFA says they dominate in FIFA. I mean, I need to find some of the losers in FIFA.
Right here. I lost to the game at its lowest setting in training.
Okay. There's
the
one.
The buttons don't make sense.
One of millions.
But I watch.
I promised I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to give a plug quickly to Grand Theft Auto 5, which is the... You asked me if I was a gamer. Most expensive game of all time, $250 million to make. And it's made $1 billion in 3 days. And it is that damn good.
So
everybody go get it. Oh.
He camped out.
Definitely. Your girlfriends dump you after they see you playing that game because then your life is just at home.
So how many girlfriends do you have?
I actually have none right now. I'm a sad, lonely bastard.
Is that before you bought the game or after?
Definitely before. It doesn't help my chances of attracting the other
but
gender.
But you got a game to occupy your time.
It does. It does take up most of my time. And we've taken up a good chunk of yours. So today, for me and the On The Ball Soccer Podcast team, thank you very much. And we will see you next week. Cheerio.
It's this moment.